Last week we started a look at community, and today we want to take a little quick refresher, and then we'll jump into where we are in 1 Thessalonians. So John, chapter, was I too quick on that one? Sorry about that. John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we looked at a little bit. It says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We have literally the privilege, and we remember that community, that loving one another, is not about us, it's about Christ. It's about God's glory, it's about reflecting Him. It started all the way back in the way He created us, Genesis. He created us to be His image bearers. We lost that ability to be a great image bearer when Adam and Eve sinned, but Christ restores us and empowers us to love. I feel like I am way too far away. Listen, when we relate to other believers, we show what it means to be Christ's disciples in a way that we cannot do alone. In expressing the life of Christ to one another in form of relationships, unlike any of those found outside in society at large. If we disregard our calling of not, our calling to not neglect meeting together, that's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Don't neglect meeting together as some have. If we disregard that, we miss one of our greatest opportunities to show Christ's love to the world. Especially in this culture. We discussed a little bit the great disconnect. Even though we're more and more connected, we become more and more disconnected. Here's the great oxymoron, but it's not right. But the great... No, it is. It's an oxymoron. Our culture thinks they're more connected, but they're less connected. And at the same time, the very thing that they long for, that millennials long for more than anything else, is to be connected. And here, congregation, is where I think Lighthouse shines. As a body of believers. It's the second strength we talked about last week that I think this congregation has. And I know that sometimes questions, doubts, painful memories can make hermits out of all of us. When we're hurting the most, when we're struggling with our temptations or our sin, isn't it the hardest to come in Sunday morning? We think somehow we can hide. But Christ distributes courage through our community. When we're honest with our struggles, when we're honest with our needs, I think one of the things this congregation does well is encourage, walks well with each other. And through that, I believe Christ dissipates our doubts. He never deposits all of the knowledge in one person, whether it's Pastor Jim, our elders, or anyone else. He instead distributes reflection of His healing love throughout the entire congregation. We need one another. That's why community is so important. Now, I've hope you don't mind, I just set you up. Are you ready for this? In spite of that truth, the key building block to community is not the desire for community. The key is not community. Can I say that one more time? The key is not community. As important as I believe community is, as important as it is for sharing God's truth and reflecting His glory, that is not the key thing. You see, community is in reality only a fruit of Christ's exalting worship. The key is Christ. Community is not what we aim for. Christ is. I was at a college not long ago, and they had a great message on the community. The only problem is they miss Jesus. They spent all of the time talking in their chapel about talking about how we need to be a welcoming community. I agree with that. We need to be a welcoming community. But the second part they did is we need to be an affirming community. There's a problem with that. If I'm about to rob you, the last thing that would be appropriate is for you to say, "Well, Gary, I want you to feel good about holding that gun up to me." "Well, you affirm me, that's great. Now give me your money." No! And Paul's going to talk about that here in a little bit. No. We affirm Christ. I'm about to commit suicide. I pray you do not affirm me in that. If I'm a young mother to be who's single, I pray you would not affirm me in abortion. This problem of if we make community higher than Christ, is we'll easily slide into all sorts of errors. Instead, we lift Christ up. He is the one that we follow. And then, if our hearts are truth, will pull us back to Christ. And by the way, he'll also pull us back to community. When we find Christ, or rather, when He finds us, community naturally follows if we keep our focus on Christ, in Christ alone. Why? Because God gets all the glory then. I want to trace Paul's line of reasoning as we go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at 1 through 7. Paul says this: "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure." Pause there for a second. "You know, our visit to you was not a failure." That is a strange way to start an argument. Hey, we didn't fail. But we're going to follow this. Verse 1 starts off with this: "It's not a failure." And then watch this as he drops down to verse 2. "We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our Lord, we dare to tell you the truth." So, our visit was not a failure. even though we've been insulted and we've suffered. Paul continues. Because we told you the gospel. Or as it's put here in the NIV, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you the gospel in spite of strong opposition. Here's Paul saying, our trip to you was not a failure, even though we suffered, even though we were insulted, because we told you, we shared the truth of Christ. In a way, he's saying all of the suffering doesn't add up and doesn't stop us. Because what we have done is exactly what we were called to do. And then he pauses. If you would, he checks his motives with the people, but also reflects back to the fact that how they shared was exceptionally important as well. He writes in verse 3, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you." So three things. We told you the gospel, and then three things. It's not from error, it's not from impure motives, and we're not trying to trick you. Check us out. In a sense, he's inviting them in many ways to go back in their memory, go back and look and examine. Do we share Christ alone? Did we try to manipulate you in anything else? Or did we share freedom that comes alone through grace? He says, no, if you look at verse 4, on the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. How do we know that? We're not speaking to please men, whether ourselves or others. You know, verse 5, we never use flattery. We're going to speak the truth. It's going to hurt sometimes. We're not going to help you feel good about, okay, here's, I'm going to speak right to that ideal of affirmation. We're not going to make you feel good about sin. We're going to speak truth. We're not going to butter you up and tell you what a wonderful person you are. The reality is, we desperately need Jesus. It's not by our merit, but by Christ alone. We never use flattery. Nor do we put a mask to cover up greed. When I was single, we had this rolling minister roll go through, and he was talking about, and he wasn't at my church, he was at another's. I went and visited. But it was a big production. And he wound up talking about how God had used him to deliver people from witchcraft and from demonic things. And then he took a collection at the end, and I sat there and I turned, at that time I was just dating Shauna, and I turned and I said, this whole thing's a sham. It's a lie. Six months later, Mike Warnke was exposed as a man who stole for the sake of stealing. Tended to be a lot of things. And a lot of churches bought into it. But he was all out for himself. One of the things that I appreciate about Pastor Jim is I just don't see that. In fact, there are a number of pastors in our community who are simply here because they love Jesus. It's an awesome thing. Yet, I do know that Satan will, even as Paul has to bring up this idea that he did not use greed, he did not use flattery. We turn and we focus on Christ, not on community. We focus on Christ because as we do that, if there is someone who comes and does any of these things, they will stand out. And discernment will show us that we should not trust them. But Paul's lifting up his argument and saying, look, we're out to please God alone. We've avoided flattery. We've avoided greed. We've avoided the praise of men. And as a result, Paul says, this is how we are building your community. Look at the second half of verse 6. Paul writes, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. You see, the pursuit of Christ motivates, in this case, Paul, to love those who are new in Christ as a mother caring for them. And as the love of Christ, if we focused on Christ, when we see somebody come to know Jesus Christ, our motives switch to being people who want to raise up, care for. I'm not a mother. I never have been. But I can tell you that when we took our little son home from the hospital, it was so much fun being able to do that as adoptive parents. I know that's a strange blessing. I didn't set him down and say, okay, bud, there's the kitchen. I want you to go in there. We've got cereal here for breakfast. Over here is mac and cheese. Microwave, you can take care of yourself. No. We didn't even go there. That was baby food. That stinky, nasty stuff. But it was nourishing. Formula. Cleaning up after them. Watching them make mistakes. It's still a matter of encouraging them. We have new believers. As God uses this community to reflect His glory, He will bring in here people who have either just come to know Christ or don't know. Your response will be to be gentle, to raise them up, to walk them through that. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but do you notice? Pause for a second. As apostles of what? Christ. Do you see how Paul is continuing to go back to what the main thing is? As apostles of Christ. As, in other words, as messengers of the gospel. Paul is striving to keep the main thing the main thing. Even as he's laying a foundation, I think, for what community is. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if we're going to be gentle, if we're going to be caring, that means we're going to be sharing our lives with each other. as believers. It means we're going to take time to invest in one another. Not because we're out to build community, but because we're focused on Christ. Because you had become so dear to us. You've become family. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We work day and night in order to not be a burden to anyone. While we preach the gospel of God to you. Verse 10 down, he's going to continue. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each other, with each of you, as a father deals with his own children. Paul switches. So here's the mother. It's gentle and caring. Now he's going to pull in the father's role. As a father, verse 12, we encouraged, we comforted, we urged you to live the lives worthy of God who calls you into His kingdom and glory. Paul is looking at his own culture, and he really sees within his own culture that here's the role of the mother, here's the role of the father. The father is to urge, to comfort, to urge his children to grow up, to live lives worthy. It has a believing community. You notice Paul has done both of those. He's not saying, okay, this is the women's role in the church, this is the men's role. He's done both of them. As a community, we need to be about both of those things. Caring gently, even while we comfort, even while we encourage, and even while we urge. And that means, by the way, the word behind that is to exhort. It means to push. I remember one man by the name of Glenn Eckberg who would occasionally walk up to me as a young single man as I came to know Christ. And he would metaphorically put his arm around my shoulder at the church I was attending. And he would speak into my life the things that he saw God doing. And I'll never forget the day that he walked up and he said, "How is the young man of God today?" You know what? That made me want to live more. To live stronger. That exhortation motivates. It's not a matter of tearing down. It's a matter of speaking into what we see. Now, there are young men here taking steps to follow Christ. Well done. Encourage you to continue to live that as a man of God in school. We have a great opportunity. Rebecca, you're back. It's so awesome to see you. It's been fun watching. You're a young woman of God who's gone around the world. Thank you for being our representatives. How do we speak life into our young men? You've made choices that honor your parents in Christ. Well done. See, that's the role of this body. As we do that, as we have young men who are up reading God's Word for us, well done. We speak life into them. That's community that's focused first and foremost on Christ. and seeing those expressions lived out among us. Thank you for choosing to be here, to be growing in Christ. As we encourage both young and old, then we go back to the purpose of what community is. To reflect the image of Christ. So that others will know. And are drawn into that truth. See, and I think in verses 8 through 12, Paul is pursuing love and community. Why? Because of Christ. All you have to do is go back and look at Acts, and you see what he was like before Christ. And the power of God is clearly working when we look at verse 13. As Paul writes, "And we thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Again, Paul is pointing to the main thing. God. His Word. His work. Christ. See, the focus of community starts with Jesus and the pursuit of Christ. Let me illustrate it one more time with one more passage. You take Acts chapter 42 to chapter 2 verses 42 to 47. Set the image for you. What's going on at that particular passage? It's right after Pentecost. Let's look at it for a second. Acts chapter 2. Peter has just done an amazing, empowered, passionate plea for people to turn and follow Christ. And we hit verse 42. They, meaning the, not just the disciples, but the followers, those who have accepted Christ. They've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possession and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There is probably no other passage in Scripture that I know of where community is so powerfully displayed than right here. But the desire for fellowship didn't bring the early disciples, the early followers, together. You see, I really believe the objective truth of a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, is what kept them in Jerusalem and made them eager to receive the teaching of the apostles. The main thing is Christ. To follow Christ is to love other Christians. Love between believers hear me out. The love between believers is not a sign of maturity. I believe it's a sign of salvation. It's a sign that our allegiance has radically changed. The reason we value unity diverges, unfortunately, sometimes from the reason why God values unity. As human beings, our tendency is to teach on church unity, and then we reach for unity or community instead of reaching for God. Yes, unity, community is good. It's pleasant. Yes, it makes for a happy church. And by the way, it usually keeps meetings shorter. When there's a strong unity in the church, meetings are often short. We see what God wants to do. Let's go do it. All right, we're in. Whereas when we start bickering, when disunity comes, our meetings go long. But ultimately, unity is not what we seek. We seek God. And because of that, when community is strong, it reflects that God's presence is there. Because people have sought Him. God cares about our unity because it shows off His power and wisdom, not our wisdom and our brilliance in making community. Practically, how does this focus on Christ impact the way we live? First, the negative. Whenever we act out in ways that damage or destroy community, it demonstrates that we are following a way of hate and not of Christ. Hear this out. Even when I see somebody is ultimately in error, I will approach them in love if I'm following Christ. That's what Matthew 18 is about. It's because I love Jesus, I will come to you and talk with you one-on-one, protecting your dignity. Why? Because I love Jesus. But if I don't love Jesus, I'll come over here and say, "Hey, Ken, did you see? Do you see what Ed did?" Oh, yeah, he's out visiting family. No, see, that's gossip, and it's evil. And it's following a way of hate. By the way, Ed is with family, and that's a great thing. When we gossip, we proclaim to the world, "I love me and I hate Jesus." I don't know how to make that stronger. I don't know how to make it any softer. When we gossip, we proclaim, "I love me and not Jesus." That's the world standard. But when we seek Christ first, we choose to follow Him in life. And when we proclaim His love to others through our actions, because our hearts, our minds have been transformed. And when we go off base and we sin, we come and we seek forgiveness. And you know what we proclaim? We proclaim that I care more about being right with God than about my own pride. I love Jesus more than I love being right. And I expose my failures to you so that you can speak into my life, because I want to be His more than I want to be mine. The difference is we don't run around and say, you know what, look at all these other churches, they're doing it wrong. There are some out there that do it wrong. I know that. But my focus is on Christ. And we're able to stand firmly and say, we love Jesus. And we love each other. And we will love you. When we use our gifts to bless others, we are declaring Jesus has so captured my heart that you matter to me. And I will spend what God has made me for your benefit. So that He's glorified. We want Lighthouse Community to shine brightly for Christ. And I want to encourage you, as a community, this is what I see is to be your strength. You do community well. You love one another well. So, with that in mind, here's some application. I want you to continue to pray for your church family faithfully. Prayer undergirds that pursuit of Christ. Pray that this body will grow in this area. By the way, churches fall short. A lighthouse is no different. No church is perfect. So pray that the members of this church would be so full of Christ's love that it will overflow into personal relationships. And then take advantage. When God prompts you to do something for each other, do it. Don't wait and say, well, I'll do that tomorrow. You see, when the Spirit leads, and I believe God still speaks to us as individuals. Now, if it doesn't match Scripture, by the way, it might be bad pepperoni pizza. And not God. But God often speaks. He prompts us to care for each other. To lift each other up. Examine ourselves. Are there patterns of behavior in our own life that serves as obstacles for the community we desire here? Sometimes hobbies take precedent over gathering with God's people. It goes back to Hebrews. I know work schedule for me is often a difficult thing. And it's something I struggle with. So pray for me in that one. Remember, or maybe for whatever reason, there are times when we don't want to let people get too close when we're hurting. Ask God for the power to put our arms down and invite people in. And then pursue Christ in all things, a true community pursues Christ together. We all need community. We really honestly do. Well, this world is begging for it. But I know this one thing. We need Christ more. So, again, I would encourage you. I think we have an excellent community in this congregation. So what do we do with that? Last point of application, share it. Share it. Don't allow Satan to lie to you. And he will lie to you this way. You know, Lighthouse is small. You don't make much of an impact. That's a lie. Christ is powerfully here. share it. Invite others in. The love of Christ that is here will overcome that whatever you see as a deficiency. You're not small. You're powerful as you focus on Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we come before you, I pray that you would empower Lighthouse to not only enjoy the community that you've built in here as they have focused hard on following you, of knowing your word, of preaching your word, of teaching your word, of really proclaiming grace and grace alone. Thank you for this. The community that is here to me is evidently full of love. So Lord, use that to glorify yourself as you intend. Embolden this congregation simply to love others, to make you known, this community and beyond. Lord, when we come together, the other thing we want to do is lift up those who are hurting. Again, I pray for Pastor Jim, but I know others here need you and your love from your people. For those who are gone today, pray that the fellowship with their family would be sweet. And then you would bring them back as an important part of this body. Watch over those those others who are gone. Lord, keep our eyes focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.